Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
My Son, the Killer. It's the untold story of Luca Magnotta and Brian Whitney. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're doing
Thank
okay.
You.
I am. I don't care about Kevin. Now, hey, listen. Now, I've seen the unedited, the raw video. I did an interview years ago when this happened with the cops and all that stuff. And I remember Luca Magnotta and that whole scene. Before we get into the story, how were you able to talk to him? What made him decide to talk to you?
Yeah, it was kind of odd in the sense that I basically was set up by my publisher, which is Wild Blue, to work with Anna. Like, she had sent in a manuscript that they thought needed some work, and they thought it would also benefit the book to have somebody else write it from a different perspective as well than just Anna's. But I didn't think that Luca would want to talk to me. Like, he'd never even done any interviews, as far as I know. He says he's never done any interviews, and I haven't been able to find any, so I certainly think that's true. And then Anna said she talked to him, and he said he'd be willing to talk to me. So
wow.
We spoke on the phone a few times and wrote a bunch of letters. And
so people that don't know, Anna Yorkin, I believe, right? That's his mother.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I wrote the book with Luca's mother, Anna Yorkin.
Yeah. It's quite a story. Now, for people that don't know, let's go through the story. So, like, who was Luca Magnotta? And just so people know, we're talking about Canada and, I believe, Montreal, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, but probably, you know, he's kind of right up there with, like, O.J. Simpson in Canada as far as fame goes. He was a guy that he had a series of escalating incidents, and a lot of them were using the internet, where he was claiming that he was dating Carla Homolka, who's like a Canadian serial killer, and then he was a suspect in cat killing videos. And then finally he filmed himself killing and then doing all sorts of incredibly atrocious things to an individual, and then posted it on the internet, which caused quite an uproar, of course. And then he actually, it sounds so bizarre just kind of laying it out like this, and it is bizarre, but then he also actually mailed pieces of the victim's body to schools and political offices and went on the run and was caught in Europe a few days after he left.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So now if I remember, he used to he would set up hundreds of Facebook accounts and like himself.
Yeah, and he claims, and that's the funny thing, when you talk to him, I mean, I almost feel, I shouldn't feel bad considering what Luca has done, obviously, but I almost feel bad because, you know, when one talks to him, he completely denies that. Oh, he never did that. That's all been made up. But no, it's been established basically that, yeah, he would create 70 different Facebook accounts, put up a rumor about himself and how he was an international playboy. And then in his other 69 accounts, he would comment, to try to build up the buzz of how, of how incredible and famous he was, so on and so forth.
So he was a one-man show.
Pretty much, yeah. No, pretty much. And, he would Photoshop himself behind, fancy cars, or he'd pay someone to Photoshop himself behind the wheel of a fancy car, and so on and so forth. All very bizarre, just really trying to build himself up as some sort of famous model. In reality, he was kind of a low-rent male prostitute.
Escort.
Right.
I have to wonder, but where did this come from? I mean, I think the world's changed, and we have all this Facebook and Twitter, and everybody's into promoting themselves on social media and making themselves up. But he's kind of the start of it. And what made him be so desperate for the attention, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to tell with him, when somebody does something that's just a series of things that are just so bizarre. I mean, it's really difficult to actually be like, oh, this is why he did that, because none of it really makes a whole lot of sense. But he was bullied a lot when he was young. He was abused by his father and his stepfather. He never really fit in. And he also, even though he denies this, he says he's not mentally at all. He is ill at all. He has a history of mental illness. He's been hospitalized for it. He was even on Canadian's version of welfare for it at one point. And I think he just is a person that was just very, very desperate to appear to be somebody that he wasn't, to appear to be somebody that was stronger and more impressive and better looking and, all those different things. As opposed to this very sad, lonely person, which is really what he was.
Now this case seems to be very psychologically charged. And, you were helping the mother write this book. You're basically co-authoring with her.
Right.
And it's my understanding that she really kind of tries to minimize his crimes, not cover up, but kind of, downplay everything. So that lends to the fact that when he was growing up, what was his relationship with her?
Yeah. And that was part of the reason that they, meaning my publisher, wanted me to participate in the book, because I think they felt that they would be kind of lambasted if they just put it out the way that Anna had written it. And his relationship with her when he was younger, he was homeschooled. He was basically, there's a lot of things in the press that said that Anna was maybe not the best mother when it all happened. Anna disavows most of those things. So it's hard to know. They're very close now, and I think they were very close when he was young, but they became estranged at one point. He moved out when he was 16 or so. But in her view, he was being abused by his father and his stepfather, and she wasn't really strong enough to help him get through that. I think that would be the way that she would put it.
Now, I heard...
No, go ahead.
I heard stories that when he traveled in the States, too, that they were worried about him perhaps doing some killing down there.
Yeah, it's like I was talking to somebody the other day that was even under the impression. There was a crime in Hollywood that they, and I'm not totally up on the details on it, but he was very much suspected of a crime in Hollywood at one point. But as far as I know, no one's actually said in any real way that he's ever been connected with any other murders. He did do the cat killing stuff, which it's funny. It's like somebody that does writes true crime. It's like I, of course, have a lot of empathy for any victim of crime in general. But when it comes to animals, then I'm just like, oh, you know, it's like I just can't even go there. I just can't. So like, you know, he did do like those things. And, but as far as I know, this was his only violent crime on a human being.
Well, now Brian, let me tie two things together. Cause now it's, I'm getting excited here because I'm mulling a lot of things over that you said. So
good. You're excited.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Good thing we're on radio. Not anyways. So, let's go back to the mother and the homeschooling, because you said something that to me is very crucial. She homeschooled him.
Right.
There's two reasons that you would homeschool a child. A, either you find, you know, local services inadequate, or you disagree with an agenda that they're pushing, or B, he's showing some type of behavior that's not safe to the public. Now, let's put that over here. Now let's go to the cat killing videos or the kitty crush stuff.
Right.
If you're posting that stuff, that certainly is not the first time you've ever done it. Do you think that maybe he had these indicators of sociopathy as a child? She knew it, pulled him out of school and insulated him as best as she could and continued his education. And this later, like you said, you know, he was estranged, he broke all ties, and then bam, now he's free to exhibit this terrible behavior.
Yeah, and that's a very valid hypothesis. The way she presents the homeschooling is that Luca's father, they eventually got divorced, but Luca's father is one of the former people that you mentioned in that, where he, it wasn't just Luca, it was the whole family. The father was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia. Luca's been diagnosed with schizophrenia. The father didn't want the kids to go to school. He didn't trust anybody. So it was more like he insulated the family, the whole family, the mother as well, and refused to like let any of them really do anything. So they were just all like at home. He would go to work. He would come home. And it would like school. There were three kids, including Luca. And it would school the three kids. And this went on until Luca, I think, was in sixth grade. That's when he first started going to school. And then he was bullied really badly because he was very effeminate and wore his hair in a weird way and so on and so forth. So it is a good hypothesis, though. And like, but according to her, that was how it went down, how I just described it.
So now, was he the only child, or did he have brothers, sisters?
He had two brothers and sisters. He was the oldest.
And were they, how were they with all of this?
Well, I have to say, they're in the book, obviously, but kind of peripherally, they didn't have any sort of the same issues that Luca did. And since he was older and he moved out when he was 16, he didn't really have much of a relationship with either one of them after he moved out of the house. He went to live with his grandmother when he was 16, and then he dropped out of high school and just kind of like took off. But so, as far as I know, the other kids, like, you know, obviously were traumatized by what Luca did, but didn't have a huge role in anything to do with how Luca turned out the way he did.
So far, everything that you've told us though kind of explains his, you know, grandiose behavior, because he had grown up in a bubble most of his life.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, when he was picked on so much, I think he just sort of decided at some point to just kind of create a new persona that people, you know, wouldn't pick on, that would be cool. And his version of cool obviously is a little bit different than most people's, but I think that was kind of the vibe he was going for.
Yeah, he probably had nobody to protect him in school or different places, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say.
So now, the crime itself, he actually picked up, it was a Chinese student.
Yeah. His name is Lin Yan. Yes.
Yeah, Lin Yan. And what he actually did was he killed him. He stabbed him with an ice pick, and then he dismembered the body, and he videotaped it, and then he had sex with the body, different parts.
Well, it makes it even weirder. I'm not mean to laugh, but it's like what makes it even weirder is that it looks like he simulated having sex with the body, like he. Which makes, I mean, he did do all sorts of weird things with the body that were sexual, but at one point when he actually was, you know, quote unquote having sex with it, it looks like he was pretending to, like he was moving in a sexual way, but it looked like his pants were like still on, and then he was, so that to me is almost weirder that he's pretending, you know, it's one thing to like actually be drawn by something that's so dark and twisted and go through it. It's another thing to be pretending that you're drawn by something that way. So it's one of those things where, like, how much of it was, like, this was just, like, he was doing the whole thing just for show versus, like, because he was compelled to do it. It's very odd, any way you look at it.
Do you think he was trying to do it? Because he posted this and got a huge amount of plays and hits. I guess a lot of people didn't realize that it was real at first.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't think it was real. And kind of an interesting anecdote, I think it's interesting anyway, but I wrote a book of interviews like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it was published by a publishing house in England called Head Press. The book's called Subversive, and it's just a bunch of interviews with some very odd folks. And like, so I had interviewed Mark Merrick like 2 or 3 years ago, and Mark owns bestgore.com, which was the site that they put the video on. And the reason I interviewed Mark is because Mark went to jail for 6 months for putting the video up. You know, like that's, like that's how bad the video is, that the guy that put it up went to jail, you know, for corrupting morals was the actual charge that he was.
Oh, wow.
I know. You know.
Yeah.
6 months for corrupting morals. So, yeah, but you're correct. Originally, a lot of people were just like, there's no way that that could be real. And I always say when I do these things, like, I don't recommend that people watch it. I mean, it's pretty disturbing. It's a very disturbing video, to say the least.
You can understand that, though. We look at creepypastas. You know, we look at these fake videos. And this one is just so doggone blatant that I understand people for not believing that it's real. Hey, I'm going to pass this along. I think it's a great fake video. Or, you know, it's a great little horror short film or something, you know.
Right.
Wow, little do we know, you know, that this is a real person. And like, like you said, it almost looks like he's simulating a sex act with the video or within the video. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, he did. I mean, it's like some of the stuff that I don't even like want to say, even though this is a radio show that like we're talking about it. But I mean, you know, but you at one point he like masturbated with the guy's hand that he'd cut off, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was doing stuff sexually, but the actual, it seemed like he was pretending to penetrate the body. Like, it's pretty much established that he wasn't actually having sex, that he was pretending to. So it's like, you know, again, it's like that's almost weirder that somebody would be like pretending to do something like that. Like they think it's so cool to do something like that. As opposed to, you know, being drawn to do it physically, if you get what I'm trying to say.
What does he say about itself, or does he talk about the actual...
The one thing he won't talk about, it's like when I first talked to his mother, she's like, Luke, he just doesn't like talking about it. He kind of flips out. Like, he's like, he just really doesn't even like going there. And so when we talked on the phone and through letter... it's the one thing that he would not go there. And I didn't completely push it either, because it was one of those things. It was kind of tenuous, you know, like I was like, I can't, in my mind, I was like, wow, you know, I can't believe Luke actually wants to talk to me for this book, you know? I wasn't expecting it. And obviously it's like, it's a cool selling point for the book, and it also makes the book so much more interesting. So I didn't want to blow it and like have him just like hang up the phone on me or be like, I'm not writing you anymore. So I didn't really push it, but at the same point, he would just say things like, well, the only thing I'll say about this, I'm paraphrasing here, but the only thing I'll say about that is, like, people don't really know what happened there, and there were other people involved in the situation, and I don't know if you guys know, but he has this sort of, what he claims is a person named Manny, that made him do all sorts of things. But which is, to me, this is one of the big differences between Anna and I. Anna actually believes Manny is real. Like, to me, it's incredibly obvious that Manny is just not real at all. You know, it's just, he's either just making it all up, or more likely it's a delusion, an auditory hallucination that he has all the time.
Right. I remember that now. So this character apparently was telling him what he was supposed to do.
Yeah. All the cat videos, like, you know, in particular, like, he would be very open about that. He's like, well, Manny made me do it. Manny was like, we're going to sell these videos and be rich on the internet. And Manny, if I said I didn't want to do it, Manny would punch me, or Manny would rape me, or Manny would do all this stuff. And I mean, it's obviously ridiculous. I mean, like, nobody could, like, make me kill a cat and, like, put it up on the internet. You know, even if they punched me, I probably still wouldn't kill a cat and put it up on the internet, you know. But yeah, you know, so it's the same thing with the if you ever read, if anyone ever wants to read the Watts report, it's like a psychiatric report that was done on Lucifer's trial. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there about Manny, and there's a lot of stuff in there about Manny even being at the crime scene when he killed Lin Yun. But he himself, to me, he would just say, oh, people don't really know what happened. And not to ramble on about this point, but there's tons of video in the, you know, when he went in with the victim in his lobby, there's a camera.
Right.
And there's nobody else. You know, there's just them. They went in together. And then after the crime, I mean, Luca just kept coming down with trash bags, and he's wearing the victim's baseball hat and come down with trash bags and, like, throwing all this stuff away. And, you know, there was nobody else, you know, involved.
What did he contribute then to you, or what did he want you to say about the crime if he wasn't going to tell you about it?
Well, it wasn't so much the crime itself. I mean, both basically, like, he, for one thing, he was very interested in saying, which is kind of ironic after everything I just told you, but he was very interested in saying that he did not agree with it. They did a not criminally responsible defense because he's mentally ill. That he didn't agree with the not criminally responsible defense, and that, like, he never agreed to it, and he's not mentally ill, and what he really wanted to tell me, for the most part, was how everyone had just made all this stuff up about him. That's kind of why, yeah, that was his main theme throughout. Like when he was in Europe, he wasn't on the run. He was just taking a vacation. He didn't even know that they were. He didn't even know that people were chasing after him, you know, and so on and so forth. And he did not make up all these fake internet accounts. That's like, people are just obsessed with him and they make up lies about him. So it wasn't so much, when you asked that question, which is a valid one, it wasn't so much like, you know, that he had all these incredible, amazing details that he wanted to tell me that make it so interesting. It was more just getting inside the mind of somebody like this, and he was just would tell me all sorts of things that were just unbelievable. So it was almost perspective.
And so his mother,
so,
Anna, I'm just trying to think then, so she believes in this character was, you know, orchestrating and had control over her son. So did she try to find this person, this and try to prove that this person made her son do all these things?
I mean, that's what's so bizarre about it, because I did talk to him about that, about Manny. And, you know, he's basically people that know Manny and I know who he is, and, like, that's all that matters. And kind of like, and Anna, yeah, she does believe, no, she, as far as I know, she's never tried to find him. But, I mean, that's what's so bizarre about it. I mean, if he really was involved in the situation, like, someone at least would be, oh, what's this guy's last name? You know, like maybe one of the investigators would have at least been like, oh, maybe we should talk to Manny for a couple minutes about this stuff.
Yeah, and then you could see them together.
Maybe we should give him a call or something, you know, and like the guy's last name's never even been mentioned. So, well, actually, well, I think maybe at one point it was like Manny Lopez, but like, they're not even sure about that. He just always calls him Manny.
Maybe he just needs one name, like Cher, you know.
Man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's like it just doesn't pass the straight face test like at all.
But he really thinks it's going to work. Yeah, Manny made me do it. Yeah, yeah, that's the ticket. That's the ticket.
Yeah, I know. I know.
When did Manny first show up? Because it almost sounds like, you know, I work in the industry. I work in law enforcement.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And okay. I deal with killers on a daily basis.
Yep.
And, you know, does it sound like he's – I understand what you said. You know, there's a history of mental illness. But does this sound like he's trying now for an insanity, you know, appeal, you know, since he's already sentenced? Or is there evidence that, you know, Manny, you know, I'm air quoting, existed previous to any of these troubles? You know, did the mother say anything, you know, well, when he grew up, he had an imaginary friend named Manny?
No, it wasn't that early with the mom, but it was like, he at one point after the cat videos, like after he did the cat videos, like people were after him, you know, like people for the ethical treatment of animals were after him. Like people were trying to find him. Like his mother did actually contact the police about that because she saw the videos and Luca was like, oh, that wasn't me in the video. And she's like, yeah, you know, that's you, you know? So she actually contacted the police at that point. And, so my point around this is to answer your question, sorry, was that, you know, at that point he went and talked to a lawyer in, New York named Romeo Salta. And like, he just gave the lawyer like this laundry list of all the stuff that Manny was making him do. And Manny, you know, did this to him and did that to him. And at another point he went to, he was hospitalized in Miami where he supposedly didn't remember how he got there. To Miami itself, and he was hospitalized for psychiatric reasons. And again, he said it was, oh, Manny had brought him down there and raped him, and Manny had done this. So it was a thread for a long time that he would do something or get in some situation, whether it be like killing a cat or getting hospitalized in psychiatric distress, and it would be like, oh, Manny caused me to do this. So, but she never, obviously, you know, well, not obviously, probably, but he was an adult at this point, and he wasn't living around his mom, so she doesn't know this guy, but she would kind of be like, you know, and I get along with Anna very well. She's a very nice lady, but she would be like, oh, well, I hope we can find this Manny. I know he did this to my son. And, you know, like in the book, and I was like, gosh.
Yeah. Wow. So she's delusional as well.
Well, in this particular situation, I'd say for the most part, if you read the book, I wouldn't say that she's delusional. Is this one situation with Manny, I guess I would use that word.
Well, she just doesn't want to believe it, you know. She doesn't want to believe that her son did that. I mean, that's got to be a really hard thing to cope with, right? It's not like he just, you know, stole cable or something, you know. No,
it's got to be amazingly hard to deal with.
Yeah. So, you know,
I agree. I agree. Yeah. Maybe delusional was a harsh word, but, you know, I see it every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got to come to grips with it. I mean, he did what he did. And so does he get treatment where he is, or is he just in kind of a jail?
I don't believe he gets any sort of treatment. He presents his life in prison as being pretty chill. Like he's like, oh, I play PlayStation and I just hang out and I have a good time. He's married too. He married another guy, another inmate who was also a murderer. So he's married in prison, and he says believe it or not, he says he takes care of animals. Oh. Things of that nature. But he did not mention any treatment, and that's largely because he doesn't think there's anything wrong with him. Believe it, you know, which is amazing, but he doesn't.
Well, it just confuses me because they have video.
Right.
I can understand if they had no video, no evidence to say, well, you know, it wasn't me or I was there, but I didn't do it, Manny did it or something. But
yeah.
when you have the video, I just
that he made.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very weird.
You know,
and he makes a video and he puts it on the internet, and then he's like, "Oh well, you know, you don't know what really happened." Well, kind of, you know, because I watched it.
Well,
you
got to be careful. You know, when I was interviewing for that Russell Williams, and people were saying to me that, you know, he was set up, that the police, you know, cropped the video and made it look like he was doing these things he was filming. And it's like, well, come on. I mean, conspiracies can only go so far.
People will. There are people. It's another thing that's kind of odd about Luke is he does have some fans. You know, there are people. There's been a few articles in Canada. This is like a really big deal. He was like named the Newsmaker of the Year in 2012 by the Canadian press, you know, like, which a lot of people weren't happy about, you know, but.
Understood.
So anyway, but there'll be an article occasionally, you know, about the book or whatever, and occasionally someone will get on there, like, and leave a comment and say something about how Luca was framed or this wasn't like really the situation or so on and so forth. But the other thing is about this crime, he was even saying things about it in social media before he did it. He was putting up posts like, "Has anyone seen the new video? Like, one lunatic, one ice pick." And he also, there was a journalist at one point that confronted him about the cat killing videos, which he denied that he did, but then he wrote the journalist a letter. He wrote it under a false name, but it's been established he was the one that did it. But he wrote the journalist a letter and was like, I'm going to be moving on to humans soon, so on and so forth. So it wasn't just the video. I mean, also basically telegraphed the whole thing. He even said the name of the video that he was going to put up like a month before on social media. So
There's
really not much wiggle room. You know,
yeah, like a premiere video he was doing or something, right?
Yeah, building up a buzz, you know.
Well, so that's interesting. What did he plan? So if he said that Manny made him do it, and then he was in Berlin where they caught him in a cafe. Mm-hmm. Before all of that, when he was vacationing in Germany. So what was he planning on doing? Doing more videos? Like, why didn't he go to the police then? If Manny made him do all this, and if he could fly,
yeah,
to
it
Europe.
Doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because, right, on the one hand, you're correct. On the one hand, he's saying, "Oh, there's more to what happened there than people know," and then on the other hand, he's claiming he didn't even know anyone was looking for him, and he was, you know, it's a big thing that they say that if you read anything about the arrest, it's obvious like he was reading. He was in an internet cafe, and then he was reading news stories about himself, off, you know, which makes sense, you know, like, yeah. But he claims that he was watching an Ava Gardner movie, which is like, somehow seems like a really important point to him. He's like, you know, he tells me that, oh no, I didn't even know that they were looking for me, and I'd just flown off to Europe, and I wasn't reading stories about myself. I was watching an Ava Gardner movie. And if you see, there's a video of him being arrested, and somehow like the owner of the shop recognized him, and there was like a truck with like 20 army guys or something outside. Like 20 people came in to arrest him. You know, if you watch the video, like 20 military guys come into the internet cafe. And like, so in his mind, he's just like, oh, he's so surprised. Like, he has no idea, like, that anyone's even looking for him. And then these 20 military guys come in and, you know, and handcuff him. And, you know, he had no idea about the whole thing. None of it just passes a straight face test, obviously, but he's still like right now, if he were to hear this, or I haven't communicated with him since the book came out. I know that he's like, oh, Brian's like, you know, now I'll be one of the people he says is just a complete.
Yeah.
I'm a complete idiot.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah. Well,
what do you think his plans are now? Does he plan on trying to get out of his facility, or is he just going to live there happily ever after with his new hubby, or what's?
Well, Canada has, he got 25 years to life. Like, he didn't even get like an actual life. So in theory, he could be out in 20 years or so. But I mean, I don't think his plan, I mean, I'd be really surprised if he did. That would be like one of those very odd things. Oh, Luca's fine. Because they didn't find him not criminally responsible. They found him guilty of murder. So he's not going to be let out because he's nuts. You know, he would, in their mind, he knew what he was doing and he planned it and he killed someone in the most horrific way. And he put it up on the internet for everyone to see. So I really doubt. It'd be very surprising if he didn't spend the rest of his life in prison.
Well, Carla got out.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, that's a good point. But I think Carla definitely, like, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but there's definitely that whole Bernardo is the Svengali, and like, he was the real life Manny. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the Svengali that kind of got her to do all this stuff.
She was just filming,
you know?
It. Yeah. She was.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying I buy or I don't, but I don't think Bernardo is going to get out.
No. I think they get too famous with this.
Right.
So how do you feel about him when you talk to him and when you read his letters and stuff? What was your impression of him? Did you think he was a nice guy and he was okay, or did you feel he was a little bit scary, or did you have any impressions?
Well, I mean, on the phone, I mean, as you guys can probably, you know, I have a fairly dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
So on the phone, you know, is different because we'd just be talking the way that three of us are talking right now, and we would just sort of like, because it's bizarre, you know, the whole thing's bizarre. Like, I'm talking to Luca Magnotta and we're talking about really, really bizarre stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So occasionally we would tell a dark joke and laugh or whatever, not about the crimes itself, of course, but just about how weird the situation was. But I did most of the interviewing through letter, just because, like, when I'm working with somebody like that, because he's very verbose. I mean, if you ask him a question, he's going to write you, like, I mean, the letters were all like 25, 30 pages long.
Jeez,
you know?
That kind of goes along with the self, you know,
right.
look how big I am, self image.
Right. So, I mean, most of it we did over mail. We talked on the phone a few times, as I said, but those were more like getting to know you. Okay, I'm going to send you some questions kind of things. And so, you know, it's kind of like I've already related. I mean, it was just odd. I mean, just very odd. I mean, it's just like you want to say to the guy, like, look, man, it's like, this is just crazy. I mean, you like did something like really, really incredibly messed up, you know, like something really, really bad. You know, it's like, and he's still kind of coming at me like, oh, well, the media's making stuff up about me and people are obsessed with me. And, you know, it's like, I'm, my job at this point is not to, like, in my mind anyway, other people might have handled it differently. My job at this point is to get as much information as I can, not to cross-examine him, because he would have just shut right down if I did that completely. So I kept all that stuff kind of inside because I knew if I said anything, that doesn't make sense. That, like, that would be it. Because in his mind, he was like, oh, I'm finally getting to tell my side of the story is what he kept saying. Which his side of the story was pretty.
Yeah. The video says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't really get much of the actual crime itself as in, you know, cause you know, you see the video of like you said, him taking the bags out and it's not like there was anybody with him. So it's kind of crazy, but,
it's definitely crazy.
And just that in and of itself, what Al just said, is a whole other point. If it was just the one video, you know, the killing video in and of itself, that would be a whole other issue. He could even claim that that was faked or whatever. But this is completely independent video of where he had stored the body and him making several trips to retrieve body parts to mail. That's a whole other issue. He's got no explanation for that.
Yeah, no, you're correct. The video, in reality, the hallway video, if there was no video, surveillance video down in his apartment lobby, you're correct. It'd be an entirely different scenario. He could definitely have said, look, you don't even know if that's me necessarily, because I mean, you could tell it was him, but he could say that. He could say the whole thing was made up. He could say it was doctored, but the fact of the matter is they came in together alone and then the victim didn't come out, and then there was numerous videos of him coming down and forth, back and forth, back and forth, carrying up body parts, like cleaning the apartment. You know, it's pretty much a no-brainer that.
Yeah.
Now, is my understanding correct, though, that when the police finally did search the apartment, they found the very same mattress that he had performed the killing on?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely him. they found that stuff, and they found, like, you know, there was a variety of different things that they found that made it very apparent that was exactly where the murder happened, and then they found all the stuff that, you know, it was placed outside, and a maintenance man found everything and found, like, the torso and so on and so forth. So, you know, the torso in the bag that you could see Luca carrying out.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It was very, you know, basically a
did he actually ate some of the body too, right?
Yeah. He also used the dog. There's a dog in the video, and then he killed the dog, you know, like afterwards. Just like really just incredibly messed up stuff.
Wow. And so what was your impression of Anna, of his mother?
Okay, well, we got along very well. I mean, one of the reasons I do this kind of stuff is, you know, I'm a decent writer, but it's also, you know, you were saying that you were a police officer. I used to be a prisoner advocate for the American Civil Liberties Union. So I have a lot of experience. Like, I would go into prisons and I would meet with people like that, you know, that were in there for a variety of different crimes, and I wouldn't be trying to get them out. It was just all civil rights stuff. Like, this is how I'm treated in prison and so on and so forth. So anyway, I've had a lot of experience, like, over my life, like working with and talking with people that are a little bit odd or outside of society's norms. And, so we got along very well. I mean, I'm not a judgmental person, and we enjoyed each other. Feel bad for her, obviously. And she's also had a little bit of a hard time since the book came out because, you know, no one contacted her about writing the book. She was the one that decided to write the book. But then she's been a little nonplussed by some of the attention because, again, in Canada, it's huge. It was all over the news in Canada. Not so much here since the book's come out, but in Canada, it's big. So she kind of went into hiding for a few weeks. So, you know, I feel bad for her. It's like not an easy road. She's traveling, that's for sure.
Well, what did she think was going to happen?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I cannot answer that question. That's kind of why I put it out that way, because no one, it wasn't like I contacted her. I've done that before. Like, I wrote a book with a cannibal cop, and Gil was on your show, Alan, right? And and I contacted him. Like, I was like, hey, Gil, you know, I found him through his lawyer. I was like, do you want to write a book? But I didn't do that with Anna. Like, she she did it herself. So, see, I'm not sure what she thinks was going to happen.
Now, who picked the name? I'm sorry, I'm all over you. No. Who picked the name then? My son, the killer.
sorry to laugh. I was like, that was my publisher. I was like, we went back and forth on that one a few times. I was like, she's going to hate that, you know? She did. Wow. So that was Steve Jackson. Steve Jackson is a really good true crime writer and also the publisher at Wild Blue. He picked the name.
Yeah. I think we've heard of him. So,
yeah.
I just find the whole thing is kind of crazy. And,
I know.
So we talked a little bit about that, but what kind of reaction are you getting on it? Are you getting a lot of people saying, oh, well, Luca was framed, or are you getting, much feedback like that?
I haven't gotten he's got some weird, he's got some people that I've gotten some emails from people that are like, Luca, you know, one guy's like, oh, I know more about this case than Luca does kind of stuff. You know, like he's got some weird people that have gotten in contact with me like a few times, but as far as, and some people get mad, of course, like, you know, they're like, you know, why is the mother like writing this book? There's been a lot of that. I mean, I'm sort of insulated from that, of course, because this is what I do for work, you know, so it's not, I don't really spend too much time like on that thought process. But there's been some negative blowback in that context, but it's been doing, as I mentioned to you before, I believe it's been doing really well in Canada and very decent in the United States as well. So far it's been well received, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I see that too. I mean, I get feedback on books and some of them where you interviewed people and they tell you they know more and they,
you right.
know, you know, it's kind of like, well, okay, then write a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's also funny. I think that sometimes I did a bunch of stuff in Canada and like, I would keep getting this question of like, oh, well, you know, the question of like, why you would want to write a book like this. And I'd be kind of like, well, I'm on your show. You know, why are you having me on your show if you think that this book is like, it's the same thing. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's the market demands things like this. And I think I personally am very interested in criminology and the criminal mind. And like, I think that it doesn't do anybody any good to ignore things like this. It's like, oh, something really awful happens, and let's just pretend it doesn't. I don't think really is a very effective way of dealing with things. But
yeah, and you know, and we'll get some negative feedback even from this interview because we've been kind of dark and laughing and stuff, and I've had that before.
Well, what else are you gonna do? I mean, it's like,
well,
you
that's
know,
sort of
gonna,
how
it's
I
so
look
bizarre.
At it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we had Catherine Ramsland on, and I probably have 100 emails now about how chastising us because we were laughing because she did BTK killer. She interviewed
okay,
him,
yeah.
right? She right. interviewed him, and he said, and he told her that he saw himself as Britney Spears.
Okay.
And I thought that was hilarious.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like just, and so we, you know, so that kind of, you know, I expect that sort of, you know, some people get real serious.
Well, I mean, I used to, when I said I did the prison stuff, I used to work in homeless shelters and like I did like, you know, social work for a long time. And I mean, you know, if you're in a room, like if you're working at a homeless shelter and you and your other guys that you work with or women that you work with, I mean, you gotta like crack jokes and you gotta laugh about it. Otherwise it just like eats you up. So I mean, it's the same sort of thing. I mean, it's so surreal. Like talking to Luca and writing a book on this case is surreal. So I mean, I'm, personally, I choose to like kind of take that as like a complete like what the heck kind of thing, as opposed to like something that's going to make me depressed and sad. Because if I was going to be depressed and sad, I probably wouldn't be doing something like this to make money, you know?
Yeah, it's letting steam off, you know.
Right.
You know, and we're so used to it with all the TV shows and stuff.
Right.
That people should, you know, but. So what's next? Are you planning on any other big features of books coming up? Or
I wrote a book. Well, I wrote a proposal with a guy named Rob Dick, who was Casey Anthony's bail bonds guy, and we're shopping that. I have an agent for that, and we're shopping it right now. He's basically the guy that I don't know if you guys recall, but when she first got arrested, these two bail bondsmen came, and the other one was like Leonard Padilla, and they bailed her out of jail. They bailed her and ended up living with her for like 9 days. So I'm working on a book with him, and I have kind of high hopes that that'll get picked up by somebody.
Oh boy. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because that seems to be a hot case. You know, we've, you know, done a lot of work.
Yeah,
with that,
for sure.
You know. Well, very interesting. So, of course, the book's out on Amazon, and I'm sure in major bookstores. We're going to have it on our website as well. Did you have a website or anything that people you'd want them to know about, so in case they want to send you an email?
I do have a website. It's brianwhitneyauthor.com.
Perfect. Great. And again, the book, My Son the Killer, The Untold Story of Luca Magnotta. And Brian Whitney, thank you for being here.
Thanks you guys very much.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.